Let's see what the stew has in store for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, the Gnome Stew's tabletop gaming advice podcast. Here we talk with the other gnomes about gaming things to avoid becoming part of the stew, so I guess we'd better be good. This episode is brought to you by awesome Patreon backers like the jaunty John Robinson, the esteemed Evan Harrison Cass, and the stunning Sam G. Today we have myself, Ange, along with Matt and Senda, and we are going to talk about surviving the holidays. Specifically, how to save your gaming group through the days of joy and celebration where so many gaming groups stumble and fall to the bane of scheduling impossibilities. Before we dive into that main topic, though, we're going to ask our Get to Know a Gnome question. And today, that is, what's one of your stories about a gaming group that ended? Senda, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. I don't think it's very exciting, and I'm not going to bring up, like, any drama, right? Like, but one of my absolute all-time favorite gaming groups has sort of slowly and gently collapsed like a flan that I opened the oven in the middle of cooking. But it's been like a long-term collapse. Like, we had a couple of people move away, and then we thought we were still going to do it, and we were bringing people in digitally, and then but it's like really hard to have some people remote and some people in person. And then we kind of gave up on that because it wasn't really working, and it was okay. And then we were like, well, the four of us will just keep playing. And then we're like, we kind of tried to, but then like busy life stuff happened, children, new jobs, etc. And then like it's sort of like boop, 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 boop. We were going to try and play once every couple of months. And I think we've played like one game this year, and I had to cancel the last one because it got all messed up at the last minute. And we're going to try again one more time, like next month. Like right in December, we're going to try and get one more one shot in for the year. Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
All right. So I'll try to keep this brief because I typed it up and it got really long. The main thesis of this is going to be as I get older, I think games are like relationships, right? So, and that is the good ones hinge on communication, right?
Yeah.
Back in 2017, when everyone and their brother was having the same idea to podcast their gaming group.
Hey, I resemble that remark. Okay, to be fair, it wasn't my gaming group, but carry on.
All right. So I had a friend, John, and he was getting into this one gaming group that had a podcast. I don't remember their name, so I don't know if they still exist or anything, but they had a gimmick. And their gimmick was, in order to make their setting feel like a living setting, they recruited a bunch of GMs and players from their fan base, and then the PCs of the main game, who were like movers and shakers and ran government agencies and stuff, would sponsor adventuring groups to go and do missions to achieve their goals, and the listener GMs would run adventures for the listener players, then report the results back to them to incorporate into the game. So that was an interesting twist. I tried to get into the podcast. It really wasn't for me. But in general, gaming podcasts aren't for me. I like yours, Senda. I'm talking about listening to people, you know, listening to people sitting around a table playing their games is not for me.
I had an actual play podcast too, but it was editing.
Yours was editing. Like, there is definitely a difference between a podcast, a game that has been edited for consumption, and people just recording themselves playing.
Yes.
There's value to both, but...
but they're very different listening experiences.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they are. So, John got a position as a listener GM, and he asked my wife and I if we would like to, you know, like, sign up for their forum and become, quote, listeners and play. And we're like, yeah, we're not playing anything. Sure. So, I made a cavalier who had the performer background. And I sang some truly awful songs in an annoying falsetto. And I actually found the WAV files just the other week. So I can play you a clip if you want,
but we
won't subject the listeners to it. And my wife played a shape-shifting druid who was a big cat and was my cavalier's mount. And we really abused
That's amazing.
The D&D 5e mounted rule system.
Yes.
So the games themselves were interesting, in air quotes. Combat was absolutely brutal, which can be a problem with 5e, depending on how you read the challenge table. That is a rant for another day. But imagine a game that features half a dozen high-level GM PCs just off-screen, most of whom have outsized diva attitudes because they think they're about to be the next best thing or the next big thing in the D&D podcasting community. And that's what that game was like. We had a couple good sessions with some weird hiccups, some weird difficulty spikes, some nonsense interference from the real PCs. And we were kind of having a rough time and kind of like hemming and hawing on things. Then we thought we did a good job on a mission where they're like, okay, everything's going great. Things are turning around. And we get back to town and we report back to our boss, who is like an NPC that reports to a PC. And he's livid. He's absolutely pissed off. Turns out, oops, he never sent somebody to give us this job. No, one of the other PCs sent one of their agents to trick us into doing a job that was in cross purposes to our patrons' interests. And now there was a manhunt out for our heads because we had picked up our patrons' interests. Where they're like, you know, we didn't know. Oh, you should have known. What were we supposed to do? Oh, you were supposed to, verify and blah, blah, blah. That's not standard. Nothing we could say. No roles we could make. The GMPCs had spoken. We were wanted and we were expected to like flee into the hills or die in a blaze of glory or I don't freaking know. And maybe we could have turned it around. Maybe we could have like for the course of several more sessions figured it out and stopped the plot and made ourselves not persona non grata anymore. And instead where they're like, F this.
Yeah.
we threw in the towel and we're there like, this was already a headache. We're not going to deal with this nonsense. But as I look back at it, as I'm typing up this story, it's like, oh, like 90% of the problems that we had in this game, simple communication with our GM, simple communication with the people running the show and acting like diva assholes would have solved this. We didn't have to sit there and stew in silence and get pissed off and then just quit in a huff because everybody else was being unreasonable and we had never said anything to them. That's on us. So there's your lesson for the day. Don't be me.
I probably would have done the same thing that you did because I've actually been in a game. This wasn't the story I was going to share, but I was in a game group that kind of ended because we had a situation where the character, and it wasn't like the extended larger community situation you were talking about, but we were sent on a mission. We did the mission as best we could. And when we got back, it was only our second session of the game. Our boss starts screaming at us for screwing things up. And I'm just like, I don't let my boss in real life talk to me this way.
Heck no.
Why am I going to let my boss in a fantasy game talk to me this way? I'm out. And I had my character leave. The other two characters left as well. The GM was so confused because he's like, why are you guys leaving? I'm like, because why would we stay for something like that? And it kind of imploded the group.
To be honest, Ange, I mean, the reason that your boss in real life can sometimes talk to you that way is because you are not packing a short sword and a fireball.
It's true.
Right. So this other guy, you maybe could have burned down his house as you left and then quit the game. So go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
The story I was going to share was kind of the slow, apathetic death of my college gaming group. I met some folks in college. We started a gaming group together. It was amazing. Eventually I ended up sharing a house with some of them. Mm-hmm. And you would think sharing a house with some fellow gamers means we would be gaming all the time. But the problem was we only had one game master.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else really felt either competent enough to GM or had the motivation to GM. And therefore, we were always dependent upon the same GM to run. And he was kind of flaky.
Mm-hmm.
We'd start a campaign, get maybe 3 to 8 sessions in, and then he'd just drop it.
Just flake out or find a shiny?
Flake out and drop it. We wouldn't hear from him for a month or two. And that, because he wasn't one of the roommates.
Gotcha. Okay.
Wouldn't hear from him for a month or two. And then he'd come back and maybe he'd have a new idea. But it basically just like over the course of several years, it's like people stopped pushing for the gaming to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, okay. And I kind of wandered off and found other stuff to do. And it wasn't until the early 2000s when I'm like, okay, I need gaming. I can't wait anymore for the college group. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were long past college at that point, but because we only had one GM, we couldn't really keep a consistent game going, because if that GM ran into issues, the game would get dropped, and when he would be ready to run again, he would want to start a whole new campaign. I think that's where the shiny new stuff comes in. This is why today I always advocate for there being multiple GMs in the group, mm-hmm. so that we can take turns and support each other when somebody doesn't have the bandwidth to run.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Agree.
The GM of the Pathfinder game that I am currently playing in had some life stuff go on. Their mm-hmm. landlord did some underhanded shit, and their job did some underhanded shit, and they just had to like pick up their entire life and move two states over.
Oof.
And of course, try GMing a game while that's going on.
Yeah.
And so one of the other players just picked up, and he's like, we're going to do a mini campaign for 8 sessions, and, you know, it's got a start and it's got an end. And at the end, hopefully, you know, Roy will be back to GM again. And now we're back in Roy's game, because that's exactly how it worked.
Yeah.
And you're right. If that had just been a big open void, who knows what would have happened?
Would not still be playing that game, probably, because nope. I've been nope. in the middle of that void. It's very difficult to start that back up again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of voids, let's get into our main topic of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
As we land in the month of December, we are in the season of holidays, in a time when many gaming groups starts running into speed bumps that impede keeping things going. While it can be just a slight derailment, it can also mean the end of a group as things don't get back on track after the holidays. Let's also take a moment to point out that as adults, we can run into this far more often than we like, as we also deal with summer conflicts, work busy seasons, life changes, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not mm-hmm. just the winter holidays. It's just the winter holidays tend to be when it's more commonly felt by most people.
Yep.
So let's talk about this and figure out how to keep things going. What kind of issues have you run into keeping a game going during this time of year? Matt, I'll go with you first.
All right. I'm going to go off script and talk about something that's personally affects me, maybe not everybody else's so much. And that is, you know, I've talked about before, I have ADHD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have like universe brain a lot of the times, and I cannot keep any semblance of time in my head. When I say a little while ago, it could be anywhere from last week to 17 years ago. Like last week, I was talking to a doctor, and they're like, are you going to be available next week? And I'm there like, why? What's next week? And of course, for those of you who may not be listening when this drops hot, this week is Thanksgiving, right? And so my yes. doctor's there like, are you going to be available on Thanksgiving week? And I'm there like, why? What's going on? You know, so, you know. Yeah, for me, like the holidays is an interesting situation because it's a minefield.
Yeah.
You think you're clear. You think you're going to make your obligations. Everything's fine. You're scheduling games. And then you step on Thanksgiving and you're there like, what the fuck just happened? You step in, you know, Christmas and you're there like, what do you mean you can't, you know, play on December 25th? What? Oh, beep. That's Christmas. You know, so, yeah, I mean, for some of us, you know, it's all the challenges everybody else has, but they're always sneak attacking you.
Yeah. I like that the holidays sneak attack you. I also have ADHD, Matt, and I feel the time blindness really hard, but I mostly remember holidays. I'm pretty good at actual holidays. I don't know. I think my ADHD issue with keeping games going through the holidays and or other times when there has to be a long break is that when you remove something from my sight for long enough,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm obsessed with it, eventually my excitement will fade because I cannot engage with it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
For whatever reason. And then at that point, it's really hard to get over the hump to start going again.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when, for a lot of my gaming right now, I am the person who is responsible for doing all of the administrative stuff, which is a large executive function lift, which is always interesting to begin with. But then, like, to get it off the ground when there's inertia is even harder. It's like, and honestly, I was talking about the group of mine that has just like slowly just sunk back into the swamp. Part of the reason for that is with people moving and people getting busy, the executive function parts have fallen to me. And that is not one of my strongest suits. Like, it just isn't. I'm like, I'm trying because I really still want to play with these people. But like, between everybody else being a little flaky and me having really bad executive function about administrative work like scheduling, it has been challenging. But that's the thing that will happen. It gets even worse around the holidays, right? Because now I am executive functioning all of the holidays and remembering all the holidays and planning all the holidays and making things happen and planning, you know, big meals and getting trees and et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's all of the holiday stuff that you have to do, whatever you're celebrating. You've got traditions that you are fulfilling in whatever way that looks like for you. And potentially you're fulfilling them for a lot of other people around you as well. Like, as a parent, I have an obligation, I feel, to like fulfill my child for like to give him good holidays so that he has happy memories about them, right? I don't want him to have crappy, I don't want him to have holiday trauma, right?
Holiday trauma is the worst. I've had friends who have holiday trauma.
Yeah, like, I don't want to do that.
Although, Senda, there is a big difference between, you know, my Christmas was not amazing and I have holiday trauma. You can half-ass it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of executive function even involved in half-assing it.
Yes.
And then I don't have any left for scheduling a game, right? Like, especially when everybody's busy already. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It is, so I guess what I'm getting around to by having said that is scheduling difficulties, whether they are on the person trying to schedule or just the fact that everybody has a million other things going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, really hard.
Back in December of 2015, we had played before Thanksgiving, and at the end of the session, we talked about if everyone is available for the next time we were going to play, and everyone said, yeah, and then we get to the week after Thanksgiving, and we're like a day or so before the night we're supposed to play, and half the group suddenly announced, oh, I've got a holiday party. Oh, I'm supposed to go here with my spouse for this holiday thing, and I'm just like, I lost it.
Yeah, when people start dropping like flies like that after they have confirmed,
yeah,
it's much better to just be like, we're not going to make it. Okay.
I ended up blowing up at the group. I mean, through email. There was no face-to-face screaming or anything like that.
Okay.
But I did blow up at the group through email, and one of the guys in my group was quite convinced that I was very close to just walking away from them all. And no, it wasn't, but it did kind of cement into place my determination to be a cat herder for that group, because cat herding is something I can do and I don't hate it. You could say that's a level of executive function I can handle. So I like keeping that level of the group kind of moving forward, but it definitely is one of those things where you have to kind of set some boundaries and understanding about basically what people's commitments are, because everyone's time should be respected.
Yeah.
Something you just said, I wanted to jump in on because it occurred to me it's really important. You said, you know, oh, they had to go to holiday parties and oh, they have to go somewhere with their spouse. I'm betting that they got to go to holiday parties because of their spouse, right? And it's difficult scheduling married people.
Yes.
If the married people don't have their shit together, because if you tell me, Matt, we need you today, and I say yes, and I don't tell my wife that, invariably, she will schedule something at the same time. She actually did today. She's there like, we're going to go play Fallout together, Fallout 76, which is much better than when it came out. And I'm there like, nope, no, I have an event. And so, you know, I did not put it in the calendar, and luckily it was just Fallout. It wasn't like something heavy duty that I couldn't dodge, But yeah, not only do you have to herd your cats, but you have to herd your cats and say, did you tell your partner that you are not available this day?
Yeah.
Did you put it on the calendar? Because otherwise you are going to get blindsided because your partner didn't know.
That's that communication thing again.
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely.
It's true.
Well, it is communication, but it is also project management, right? But it's not your project management. It's their project management. They're the one that has to have the the executive function and project management skill to mark their freaking calendar, and many people don't.
This is part of why, A, I have a calendar event on the calendar for all the game sessions. It's just a... Mm-hmm.
It's a repeating event, yes.
Yeah, it's a repeating event.
Yep. 100%.
And I have a reminder on it that hits my email box on Mondays, and I then turn around and forward that to everyone in the group to say, hey, we're supposed to be playing this Saturday. We're playing this person's game. This is where we're at. This is what we're doing, and kind of just get the reminder out there that this is what we're doing.
Why don't you automate that reminder to everyone else and save yourself a step? But I think I heard it in there.
Because I couldn't figure out how to make it happen in Gmail.
Oh, okay.
There was just something broken about it in the way it was set up. Now, mind you, this could have changed because I set this up in 2015 after I blew up at everyone. Mm-hmm. So it might have changed, but I haven't looked at it recently.
It has been 9 years. Yeah.
2015. No, that was just last week, right?
That was just a bit ago.
We're still in the 90s, right?
What? It was just a couple of months ago, right?
What? I do also want to share. So fellow gnome Jared has been running a D&D campaign on alternating, every other Thursday for me and some other folks. And when we last played in early October, we realized we were not going to be able to play again until January, because it turns out that the Thursdays for his game were falling on two conventions, Thanksgiving, the Thursday after Christmas, and one of our players' long, well-earned graduation ceremony. So it's like, we're not going to get to play again until well after the holidays are done.
To be real, my current ongoing game that's still sort of in the planning phases, so it's mm-hmm. super easy right now, but this is sort of a thing that I do every year, is the game that I have with Phil Vecchio. And like, we just kind of call it at some point here. In the same way that like the next episode of Panda's Talking Games that's going to drop the Wednesday of us recording this, we're going to announce our holiday schedule, because we know that it's not really going to happen, and it's going to get really patchy, right? Like, and we're like, okay, so this is just what we can expect, and we're just going to go with it.
Yep.
Right? Like, we're not going to fight upstream. We're just going to be like, okay.
Managing expectations.
Yes.
Have either of you ever run into similar problems during other times of the year?
Yes.
And not in a predictable way for me. Sometimes a little bit in the summer where folks are going on like family vacations. But there's a lot of impact from life change stuff that has mostly affected my group. So it's been like somebody's getting a divorce, right? Like somebody's mid-divorce or like...
I hope that's not a regular occurrence.
It happened more than you would think that it would have. It was like, I started playing in the group when I was mid-divorce, and then somebody else was mid-divorce, and he ended up dropping out for a little while till he finished up, and then he came back, And then somebody else was mid-divorce, and he didn't even tell us for a while, except that he was getting weird calls from his kids. Oh, my God. We all, not all of us, but many of us started married, and there's no one left in this group who is married anymore. Not one. Oh, wait, I'm lying. I apologize. There is one person left who is married, although they did spend a year apart estranged before they sort of picked up the pieces. So, like... It happened more than you'd think that it would. But so, like, that happened. And then, like, people got new jobs.
Hang on. How many married couples were there?
I want to say five. I feel like there were five. It wasn't the gaming group's fault, to be clear.
You sure the gaming group wasn't cursed?
Correlation is not causation.
There are more than you would have expected, and now I have to do the math. So you keep talking. I'm going to be crunching
in my head. There were, oh my God. I have to do some math actually, because I think there were six of us total, and everybody was married except for one person. Mm-hmm. So five people, but do I count? Because I was already divorced in the mid-divorce.
I mean,
I started.
You joined the group while you were in the middle of the divorce, so I'd say yes.
Right. In the weird months of waiting period before you're allowed to actually just sign off and...
When you say five people, right, you're not being tricky and like two of them were married to each other or anything.
No, we were not playing with anyone's spouses.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I need to do the binomial.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. I completely lost track of what I was saying now. That's okay. I had to do some counting. Oh, and but people also got, like, good things also happened, right? Like, people had a baby.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Having a baby will blow a hole in your entire life, right?
Oh, yeah. Babies blow a hole in a gaming group.
Yeah, they do. And then so there was, like, babies blowing holes in gaming groups.
Yeah, we gamed at one friend's house. For the first 5 years of their daughter's life, we gamed at their house when we gamed with them because it was just easier on them.
Yeah. And then people also got really good, cool job changes. That happened. And you wouldn't think that would blow up a gaming group. But when you go from working like a normal human who works like 40 hours a week to like getting a big promotion into a position where you're suddenly working like 60 plus hours a week, that will also blow a hole in your gaming.
I've had multiple years of graduation parties that end up impacting gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking about it as I was setting up for this episode, and I'm like, how many more do I have left? No, Ava's still going to graduate. Got about 3 years on her, and Amelia is 12, so we've probably got 6 years for her, but like, still, it's been like graduation party after graduation party after graduation party for like the last 6 years.
Yup.
13%.
13% of expectation of all five of us getting divorced.
So if you have a 45% divorce rate, which is low, first marriages are 40 to 50%. Second marriages are like 60 to 70. I presume third marriages are further yet. And you have five marriages, the probability of four or more of them ending in divorce during your game is well, not during your game because we're not looking at time, but just in general, is 13.12%. So there you go. It's roughly one on one die eight.
So it is a little, it is more than you would expect. I feel like I summed it up the first time.
It is above the expected value. The expected value is 45% of your five, cool. You know, which is what, two, right? But it's not unreasonable. It is a one on one die eight. That's not a rare roll by any chance of the imagination.
Okay, so moving past divorce season, what are some of the things you've done to try and keep the momentum going for your game group during a period of time where scheduling conflicts become problematic?
Yeah, we actually succeeded for quite a while by just like lowering the pressure. If that makes sense, I don't know if it really lowered the pressure, but here's what we did. Instead of committing to playing biweekly, which was not really working, like people just couldn't make it, it was getting really patchy, we were like, okay, why don't we play like once a month? And we reduced the frequency so that we could prioritize it a little bit higher on the days that it actually fell. And just to be clear, this was a group of people who definitely wanted to play together. And I don't think that this would be a successful way to make a change if the real reason that your game is falling apart is because people aren't actually interested.
Yeah.
If people aren't actually interested and you lower the frequency, they're only going to become less interested. So you have to rely on them actually being interested for this to work. So that was the first thing that we did. And then we stopped because everything was really patchy and we were having trouble playing through whole arcs because of all of this stuff that was getting in the way, people getting promotions and new girlfriends and babies and all of this, right? So the other thing that we did is that we made it so that we were playing one-shots instead of ongoing campaigns so that we didn't have to have the exact same group of people there every time. We just had to reach a quorum of people that could play that game. Now, do I love playing campaigns? Of course I do. Do I want to play campaigns? Of course I do. But do I want to play with these people? Also, yes. Do I also enjoy playing one-shots? 100% I do, right? So this was a compromise that we used to specifically keep games going despite the difficulty that everybody was facing. And we've done it through the holidays before, too. It was just really funny. The last time, we were always like, we'll just play one-shots through the holidays because then it's less... Like, it doesn't matter as much when one person is missing, when two people are missing, or like, and it changes around. But the last time we said we were going to do a quick one shot before the holidays, it was our traveling home, and we played that game for like 2 months. It's supposed to be a one shot. Just FYI, it's supposed to be a one shot, but we ended up playing it for a long time because we really enjoyed it and we took our time.
Good.
So that one actually ended up taking us all the way through the holidays and through January, which was hilarious.
That's funny.
It is a tip that has actually worked for me before. The one other thing that I will say from the perspective of one shots is if you are in the middle of a campaign and you want to keep interest going for a one shot, but you're not necessarily going to have the same group of people every time. We had great success with playing flashbacks for whatever group of characters showed up.
Oh.
We actually did a really neat thing once where it was, we played the side characters in the campaign.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, nice.
All the PCs were stuck off someplace else doing some major epic thing, and all of the side characters back home had to band together and go on a mission to rescue somebody.
Yeah.
That was a ton of fun.
Yeah, we did things like, it was a sci-fi adventure. I was playing like a teenage girl and my mom was disappeared, but she'd been in love. She was a pirate and she'd been in love with this other guy who was a clone. I don't remember the details, but anyway, and I was being raised by my uncle because they both disappeared, right? So we did a flashback one of the times that not everybody could be there. That was like, how the heck did these two people like meet? Like one of them was like army clone lawful guy and one of them was like space pirate queen. Like how did this happen, right? And we played that one shot and it was incredible. And it didn't have any effect on the actual ongoing campaign at all, right? Other than we had like a little bit more information or like context for some stuff, but like it didn't matter if people missed it. But we still got to be involved in and engaged in the game that we were playing. So we didn't lose the interest in the game itself, right?
So I have my headcanon already.
Sure.
But how did it happen?
You know, when we get off the mics, I will go find it. There is actually one of the folks in my game group at that time was a pretty fantastic artist, and he actually illustrated the moment of the first kiss, and I have to go find it because they're like escaping on a rope dangling from a spaceship with explosions happening behind them.
A rope off of a spaceship in space?
No. Like, because he, in atmosphere, because okay. My uncle had to come in and save them. So he just dropped the rope and then they cling to the rope and then he flew off.
Okay.
And then explosions, you know, it was very dramatic. I'll find it.
Was there a big explosion in the background behind them? Like
yes.
Silhouetting them as they
yes.
Kissed?
Yes. It was so good. Sorry. Back on topic, Ange.
Back on topic. I will say also, if your group has been around long enough, know your cycles.
Absolutely.
You know when things happen for the group. Some folks in our group have family up in Quebec and they travel to Quebec for Christmas at some point. That is always going to happen. And that is always going to affect gaming. Another aspect of it is one of the guys in the group, he has a campsite he goes to every weekend. While he will nominally try to game from camp, his Wi-Fi is crap. So we've gotten to the point where just like pick one of the alternating Saturday games and play that one and bow out of the other one for the time being. You know, so it's like understand what your group's cycles are throughout the year to understand I shouldn't try and run a game in the spring because work is usually pretty crazy. This doesn't mean I'm not running a game in the spring. It just means I should probably not try and run a game in the spring.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'd also say what Senda was saying about one-shots. It is important, if you can, to still get as much of the group together as possible on your regular night.
Yeah.
And do a one shot or play board games or something to keep that social momentum going for the group.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And keep the habit formed.
Yes.
Yes.
I would also like to yes and send us one shots because I have some notes on those too. So first, totally holiday themed one shots.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah.
Do a holiday bottle episode.
Yes. And I'm just specifically bringing that up because I happen to know that on Gnome Stew, we have many, many articles about here are some seeds for holiday-themed one-shots for your game. I know we do because I've written at least three that I can think of off the top of my head. And I saw a couple more while I was skimming this afternoon. Also, Senda, you said one-shots are great, right? Because they don't require all of the same people to be present for the game as your standard game, right? And see also West Marches and old school stable style games.
Yes.
If you have a game group or if you have an upcoming period where you know it's like this game group's kind of unstable and Andrew just shows up when he feels like it. Thanks, Andrew. And that's not a made-up name. It's just Andra. and you know that, you know, the holidays are coming up and people are becoming in and out. It's a great time to, like, start a West Marches style stable game where, you know, one time you're there, one time you're not, one time you're your main, one time you're your cohort. Doesn't freaking matter. It's a free-for-all as far as who's there and who's not.
Right? Oh, yeah. So,
same spirit, different execution. But I will add independently, do offline play. So when you can't actually have the game for several weeks at a time, like you were talking about earlier, you can text, Discord, whatever. You know, we have Slack.
Play by post.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Gamers Plane is a great site for that type of online text-based play to keep a thing going.
But specifically because you are not gaming because people are busy. You know, sometimes you do things like that and you're like, you know, here's this big, complicated back and forth role-playing scene that we're going to be going back, you know, back and forth for like 8 exchanges over. And if you don't have time to meet for your game, you don't have time for that either. So specifically, you want to do like minimalist encounters and events. At most, you want to have like a single role. You know, it's like, you know, how does this combat turn out? Give me a combat role and we'll extrapolate from there. We're not going to have an actual combat. You know, same thing for like skill challenges or, you know, whatever. It's all like one role, you know, RPing just a few sentences here and there. You know, maybe you drop some world lore, maybe you hand out some loot. And specifically to gamify it a little bit more, you want to make sure that participation nets rewards regardless of outcome. Now, maybe you want to do like different outcome equals different rewards, or maybe you want to do better outcome equals better rewards, but it doesn't matter. Hand out that participation trophy because that's the incentive to stay engaged is, hey, as long as I give him 2 sentences of RP here, I get a magic sword. If I gave him more, maybe I'd get a better magic sword, but at least, you know, if I do minimal effort, I get minimal reward. You know, that sort of MMORPG crack type attitude, right? Entrap your players is what I'm saying. Use psychology, entrap your players.
But don't actually lock them in your basement. That's bad.
No, it's bad for property values.
So any tips on how to get things back up and running after an extended break?
Yeah, I mean, like what we were talking about, what we're really trying to solve for is re-engaging, right? So I think at just a baseline, everything that you would do at the beginning of a campaign to get engagement to begin with is a good place to start with getting people to re-engage, right?
Yeah.
Or if people have just lost, like if they just don't have the shiny on that campaign anymore, they're just not feeling it, then maybe it's easier to just start fresh. And that's okay. It's not a big deal. As long as you prioritize the people over the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
I have some feelings about this specific thing, because if you go listen to the Pandas Talking Games episode from November 27th of 2024, and I don't know when you're hearing this episode, so that's the one. We finished talking about Gary Gygax's GM mastery tenets, and the one we kind of disagreed with, spoilers, right, was like he prioritized the campaign marginally over the people in the campaign, and I disagree with that. So that's part of the reason that came out of me, like, with some vehemence, like, no, because as long as you like the people that you're playing with, then it is very reasonable to say, I really want to play a game with you all still. Are we still interested in this? Because it seems like we're having trouble getting it going again. No, we're not. Is there something else we're more interested in? That's also okay. But hopefully you can, you know, re-engage with what you had before, but you have to approach it mindfully and with intention, knowing that you're going to have to rebuild the engagement. You will have lost engagement over that break.
My group tends to do seasons of campaigns.
Sure.
Where we will play for a certain period of time, come to a season finale for the campaign, set it aside and play something else. And we have several of these we've never picked up again. We had the intentions to, but we just never picked them up again. And we have plenty that we do keep cycling through. A lot of it is, as Senda said, re-engaging people in the game. The recap is, it's essential if you want to continue a campaign that you've kind of had to pause for a bit. So people know where they are, know where they're going. You know, most players can settle back into their character easily enough. You just need to give them help to settle back into the world with that character.
Reinvestment, right?
Yeah.
So, Ange, did I understand you correctly just now where you're suggesting essentially that you have multiple campaigns going and you kind of like stop at the end of a chapter and then you might pick up a different one, but you just kind of sit the other one on the back burner? Or am I completely misreading you here?
Nope, that's completely it.
Okay.
We currently have the City of Cowls campaign on hiatus because the GM had a little bit too much going on in his life. And we picked up with, I ran a short Savage World Supers campaign. That one was fully intended to be a, you know, beginning, end, we're done. And now his cousin is running us another D&D game. And hopefully when that's done, he'll pick up, run City of Cowls again, hopefully to our finale. And then after that, I will pick up my Depths of Zendrick game again, where we'll continue on with their exploration of the continent of Zendrick and Eberron. We've done this with several different campaigns, and it's a good way to keep a GM, keep the GMs from feeling overwhelmed and like they always have to be on and doing, and we can kind of support each other when we know that somebody's life is getting out of control and somebody else needs to step in and run for a while. Because sometimes it's not just that the season is causing a problem, it's that one person's life has a lot going on and maybe they can't do what they've always done for that game. This is why I always shy away a little bit from the forever GM, because, you know, one, I know I can't do it, and two, I want everyone to have a chance to play, because when you're on both, this is a whole other topic, when you're on both sides of the table, it gives you more perspective on running and playing better games.
Yes.
Yes, but only insofar as what you enjoy on both sides. There's further perspectives even than that. But
that's true. That's true.
I will also say that sounds to me like the setup you're describing, Ange, like it requires better note taking than even, you know, a traditional gaming take a break, come back. Right. That's one thing. It's like, do we remember where we were 2 months ago when we took a break? But if you are setting your campaign down at the end of a chapter and you're coming back a year and a half or 2 years later after you've run some other games in the interim, you had better damn well have a good campaign diary, because nobody's going to remember anything.
I mean, that's where I might be the mutant, because I do remember. I mean, that is one of those things. I have a good memory, so I'm always like, oh yeah, here's where we were, here's what we were doing. But I do think a lot of it is on the GM to remember where they parked their campaign, because then they know where to go and what to recap and what to reshare with them. Like I said, most people can settle back into their character just fine. They'll just need a little help reestablishing the world around the character.
Yes, I'm just making the point that that is something that you want to do prep ahead of time for. As you close your campaign, sit down and make notes so that later when you reopen, you don't say, oh shit, where were we? You know, that's...
It helps. It does help when you are at kind of the end of an arc and you know that you're at a closing point to be able to do that instead of stopping like in the middle of a thing.
Oh yeah.
Right? That's way harder.
Yeah.
Or in the middle of a fight.
Yeah, right? Like that, you're never gonna remember that 6 months later.
But oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you stop in the middle of an action scene, in the middle of a combat, and don't pick it up again for months. It's just hand wave, narrate what happened, and move on to a better starting point for the group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Any last thoughts on the holiday blues as far as gaming goes?
No, I think we pretty much covered it all.
The only thing I had to add that I didn't get to was, you folks already touched on this, coming back is a good chance to like retcon, retrain, rethink your character campaign, whatever, you know, because you've had a break and it's like, oh, you know what? This aspect of my character wasn't working for me. Might as well fix it while we're in the break. So that was my last thought.
Oh, absolutely. I think the last thing I'll say is if these are people you enjoy gaming with, it's worth the effort of trying to make the group keep going.
Yep, that's my opinion as well.
This show is funded by the Gnome Stew Patreon. You too can Patreon backer by following the Patreon link on the Gnome Stew website to Gnome Stew Patreon. We love doing this and our patrons help us keep it going. The Gnomecast is part of the Polygamers Podcast Network. So if you're enjoying us, here's another show you should check out.
Yeah, you can listen to my show. I even talked about it some on this show tonight. I usually try not to drop spoilers, but heck, why not? We actually just finished a 4-part series where we went through the 1987 Gary Gygax role-playing mastery book, which Phil had read and I had not. So it was fun to just have reactions to that. Most of the time, though, we actually answer listener questions. So it's kind of like car talk, but it's for your game. Is your campaign making a funny noise when you turn on the headlights? Does it make a weird squeak or a smell? Let us know. We want to help you fix it.
If your gaming is smelling, we have problems.
We have a problem, right? You got to fix
it. That's
called
con funk, right?
You can find all of us at GnomeStew.com along with GnomeStew on Facebook, Blue Sky, Instagram, and Threads. Gnomes, is there anything else you want to give a shout out to today?
So I never have anything, but today I do. But it's not really a shout out. It's just me being enthusiastic about my kid. So my daughter has recently finished her degree in animation and sequential art.
Oh, that's awesome.
She was starting a project for a safe for work robot dating sim titled Grinding Gears.
Wow, that's a really good name.
That was actually mine. But
so much for showing off your kid, I guess.
Well, hang on. So literally everything else, I try to help her because I like being creative with her and I like working with her. She's a really cool kid. So some of me bleeds into her projects, but seriously, this one is like 90-some% her. Unfortunately, right? The fresh out of school, finding a job in your field grind has hit her pretty hard. And so she's stalled out on this project, which is unfortunate because it's really cool. And I'm going to try to kind of poke her a little bit, but you can still see her like early concept art for the project. If you go to @ Grinding Gears OF, which is official, not OnlyFans.
Uh-huh. On sure X. It is.
I actually said to her, I'm like, Grinding Gears OnlyFans. She's like, it's official. That's why I specified earlier, like, this is safe for work. She is not making NSFW stuff. And you can find it at Grinding Gears Game on Instagram. So again, I think it's stalled out. I'm not sure it's going anywhere, but it's still really cool and you should go check it out just to see cool, sexy Tumblr man robot art.
Nice.
I want to just call out the making of Original Dungeons & Dragons 1970 to 1977 is a massive tome from Wizards of the Coast. It's written by a couple of different people. One of my friends, Jason Tondro, was one of the main leads on this book. It is a massive tome that delves deeply into the history of D&D's origins, and it is a huge work of love. But it has also been in the news and social media for some dumb reasons of stupid drama that I'm not going to get into, but it is an amazing book that covers a whole lot of the history. I will drop a link to the D&D Beyond listing, but if you poke around, you can find some holiday sales for it being half off. It's a pretty amazing book.
Nice.
So, do you think this episode is good enough to keep you out of the stew? Or do we need to just put the stew on hiatus?
I don't know. I'm kind of hungry. Can we keep the stew?
I do have to say, I'm about 400 pounds now. So low heat and long cook time.